I think it was very good, and I'm sure the committee feels the same when it comes to our matric results. When it comes to our two provinces, that is the province of the Western Cape and to Gauteng, bad bias results. But we have provinces whose results were not that good, because we know we benchmark for each province 70%, but there are provinces under 70% itself. When it comes to Umalusi, we thank you for the good job you did when it comes to the standardization of the results. And I don't see your chairperson here today, Dr. Mabusela from Rhodes University. He said when it comes to the results that it was valid, it was fair and credible, and nothing has been compromised. And in that way, you also indicated and approved the release of the 2011 results. We know the report has quite a number of achievements, but there are also challenges. And today in this meeting, if you look at the agenda, those were just a few opening remarks. We'll do the briefing by the Department of Basic Education on the matric results 2011 and a briefing by Umalusi. And then members number 5 and number 6 we are not doing. That is the draft minutes of the 22nd and the draft report on the official matric results release. We'll do it tomorrow. With those few words, I would like to open the meeting. And before we go over to introductions, I just want Llewellyn, the secretary, to speak to any apologies. And then the DG of the Department of Basic Education is not here. And I would like to know to be related and to who did he delegate his powers today. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Apologies from members of the committee, Honourable Dudley has an apology, as well as Honourable Matisha. Apologies from the DG's office, and I think Carlson would have spoken to that, but he has, due to ministerial interviews, he won't be available, but he may join us tomorrow. He has delegated Mr. Ariachi. And Mrs. Carlos has to lead the delegation.
Thanks a lot for that, Llewellyn. And I must also welcome the chairperson of NCOP that's in the meeting today. And I'm not sure if you are members from NCOP. Ma'am, I would like to ask you, honourable members, is there anything that you'd like to say? Because I know you are leaving at 3 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say thank you for this opportunity that we have been invited to have this as a joint meeting. But I must indicate that most of the members from the Black Committee are not here, as you are aware that in the NCOP we are very few. Some of the members are at other meetings, and we've got members who of the Black Committee who are on public hearings at the moment.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Chairperson from NCOP. And I think we're going to do the introduction. Yes, Honourable Member? Honourable Gina? Fine. I think we are going to do the introductions now. And we'll start with the Honourable Members. And after the Honourable Members, we'll have the officials of the Portfolio Committee on Education. And after that, we'll ask the Department Basic Education to introduce themselves. Then it will be Umalusi. And then after Umalusi, it will be our visitors. I see Equal Education on the one side. I'm not sure who are the people on the other side. But normally we have a lot of visitors in this committee meeting. Thank you. I'll start with you, Honourable Member. Funny.
The
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Foni Sane Mushwana. I am a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Mashishi AC, a member of the Basic Education. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Nomalunga Lukina. Thank you, everybody. I'm Wendy Makate, the Chairperson of Public Content Education and Recreation in Ethiopia.
Good afternoon, my name is Annette Lovemore. I am a new member of this portfolio committee, with today being my first meeting, so I certainly look forward to playing an active part within the committee.
Good afternoon, my name is Donald Smart. I'm a member of this committee.
Thanks. Good afternoon. My name is JJ Skotana, member of this portfolio committee.
My name is Crosby Moni, member of this portfolio committee. Chobe.
I'd like to mention that we have the bulk of the members are teachers, and I believe they are on the last Middleton College for the lecture, but there are one minor.
The Masiare, Nandefe, Jake, Cody, Dikobo, the Muradwa Committee of Funza.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael De Villiers, and I'm a member of the Select Committee of Education and Recreation in the NCOP. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, members. Our official, there's about four in the meeting.
Llewellyn Brown, Committee Secretary, Portfolio Committee.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, my name is Dennis Bandy. I'm a content advisor for the Portfolio Committee.
Yes,
Mr.
Yes,
I'm Claudine Adams, I'm with the committee section.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I am Vivian Carlson, DDG, responsible for strategy, research and communication. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Peri Pediachi, Acting DDG, Planning Information and Assessment.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members. Anton Schumann, Basic Education.
I'm Granville Whittle, Department of Basic Education.
Rufus Polia, Department of Basic Education.
Matanzi Mamueli, Department of Basic Education.
Kele Mohebi, Basic Education.
I'm Randall van den Jeffer, a Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
I'm Mafura Komizam, CEO of Umalusi.
Vijay Naidu from Umalusi.
Dan Kwadi, I'm a council member at Umalusi.
Fatima Dada, a council member at Umalusi.
Thanks a lot for that.
We'll start with our visitors, right at the back. The two, the one person right at the back, and we go over to Eco Education, we come to this side, that we know exactly who is in this meeting. Thank you.
I'm Temba Khosa, parliamentary official.
I'm Legazela Pagati, I'm with the business day.
Abongwe Kobogan from SABC.
Mavalugani, Parliamentary Communication Services.
Kirsten Sims, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
clan members, your son lives in DC.
Eric Mafumari, parliamentary official.
Graham Robenheimer from Eyewitness News, KFM Cape Talk.
Sangani Baloyi, researcher, Select Committee on Education and Recreation.
I'm Paul Mdiba, researcher, Department of Higher, Portfolio Committee, Higher Education and Training.
Thanks a lot for the introduction. NCO Peter Kaina. Introduce yourself. Use that mic.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm Khalif Mashamaite from Limpopo.
Thanks a lot. That is NCLP. We'll start with the meeting now. But I would like to say to basic education, we don't have a lot of time. We only have 2:30, and the members have to question each report. I've noticed the reports are long, and I think you can just speak to it. I'll give you a half an hour, sir, in which to do the report on the matric results. Thank you. You may start, Mr. Polyak.
Honourable Chairperson, I just want to... Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I forgot I omitted to thank the committee chairperson of the select committee. I also want to just formally indicate that, that we have an apology from Mr. Padiachi, who has to leave at 3:30. So we would have concluded, I think, our input by then, but the rest of us will be here to field all of the questions. And I think because of your appeal for us to wrap up our presentation very quickly, just the formal apologies will also be noted by the Deputy Minister and Minister, because they have certainly expressed a keen interest in ensuring that the outcomes of the 2011 examination be shared, and also for their inputs to be considered. I think would have been a welcome addition to today's meeting. Unfortunately, all three of those honourable members are not present here today because of the interview. I'm going to formally ask Mr. Padiachi to just introduce the presentation very briefly in terms of the content, and we'll hand over immediately then to Dr. Pollier to make the formal presentation. And as you've asked, we will present an abridged version of it and skip through some of the slides. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We'd like to thank you for the kind words which you will indicate to the Minister and the Deputy Minister, but we'd like to place on record that the success of the 2011 examinations and the pass rate and other achievements is due to the efforts of the grade 12 learners, their parents, their teachers, as well as a large number of provincial colleagues which we would have not been able to acknowledge by name. And that DBE is one part of that process of ensuring that we do improve the quality of learning. Honorable Chair, Dr. Polia will take some of the parts of the presentation as read, because that's information that's been in the public domain, and we'll focus on some areas of work that we have done since the announcement. So I will hand over to Dr. Pollier.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you once again to the Honourable Members for this specific and special opportunity for the Department to make a presentation on this very important aspect of the entire education system, and with specific reference to the Department of Basic Education. I am going to whip through a number of the slides, but I will just hone in on certain key points which I think need to be reiterated, Honorable Chair. I think it is important for me to mention once again that the release of the 2011 NSE examination results has attracted immense public interest. And I think it's as if the entire country comes alive when the matric results are released. And I think this is very encouraging for a country as ours. And I think we are all aware that the NSC examination results remains one of the most important indicators of performance of the schooling system, and hence the kind of interest and debates and discussion that still continue. Much of what we have in the presentation has been presented at the official release, and the honourable members were present, so I'm going to flip through all these slides and just get to the ones that are important. I think there's been much debate about the fact that there is a drop in numbers in grade 12. And I think we are saying that this is an issue that is being investigated, but one of the critical issues that we think is contributing to this drop is the fact that we are beginning to set the standard in the FET band only at the grade 12 level, and possibly more specifically at the grade 11 level. We have a number of provinces that have a common testing program, which includes common tests that are set by experts, and hence we think that the standard possibly in grade 10 and lower needs to be in sync with the required standard in grade 12. And this, like I said, is a matter that needs further investigation, but I think it's worth mentioning. In terms of the standardization, Umalusi will touch on that, but I thought, Honorable Chair, it was important for us to revisit the requirements of the senior certificate and compare that to the national senior certificate. There's been much criticism about the fact that with the introduction of the NSC, standards have dropped. But very quickly, Honorable Chair, if one looks at the promotion requirements of the senior certificate, that's the old metric, and compare that to the NSC, one realizes that the standards are comparable. In fact, one can make a conclusion that the standards of the NSC are slightly higher. In the case of the senior certificate, you have to pass two approved languages, one at first language level, and pass at least three other subjects with an aggregate of 720. But I think the last bullet is important, honorable members, in the sense that if a subject was taken at the high grade level, you needed 40% to pass. If a subject was taken on the old standard grade, you needed 33 and a third. But you could pass a subject on a converted lower grade, which means, in terms of the old senior certificate, you could have passed the subject with 25%. Now, that's not something we currently have accommodated in the NSC. We have excluded a pass requirement as low as 25%. And if you look at the promotion requirements of the NSC, you must achieve the home language at 40%, two subjects at 40%, and three other subjects at 30%. And then we have the higher certificate, the diploma, and specifically, the honorable members would be interested in our bachelor requirements. In terms of the bachelor, you must pass your language of learning and teaching at 30%, four subjects at 50%, and these four subjects are not any subjects from the curriculum, but they are subjects that come from the designated list, a list that has been determined by higher education. So, Honorable Chair, one compares then the old senior certificate to the national. The NSC requires a seven subject offering, while the senior subject or the senior certificate six. So that in itself talks about a greater number of subjects in the NSC. In the case of the NSC, maths or maths literacy and life orientation are compulsory. And I think we can be encouraged by the fact that every learner in the country has a component of mathematics, which was not the case with regard to the senior certificate. Candidates could pass the senior certificate with a converted pass of 25%, which I touched on, provided they had an aggregate of 720. Now, in the NSC, the aggregate is made redundant, and we constantly receive queries about why is there no aggregate. And our response is the fact that we specify three subjects at 30 and three subjects at 40 makes an aggregate redundant. But what is critical, and I think this is something that we need to take note of, is that the admission to bachelor's in the senior certificate was you could pass four subjects at 40, two subjects at 33 and a third. But in the case of admission to bachelor's with regard to the NSC, four subjects at 50% and the remaining subjects at 30%, with at least the home language at 40%. And to conclude this particular point, Madam Chair, is that all subjects offered for the NSC are at one level, which is equivalent to the old higher grade. So it's difficult to compare the old senior certificate, but if one looks at the issues that are comparable, one finds that the NSC does not in any way minimize the requirements with regard to standards at the exit level. I'm not going to go through the magnitude and size. We've covered all of that. The overall results, I think we've read much about that. But I just want to focus on one other important fact on this particular slide, which relates to the overall types of passes. And I think it's a point that we sometimes miss, because we focus on just the bachelor's. But remember that a diploma pass also allows learners admission to university. Now, if one combines the 120,000 that obtained admission for bachelor's study with the 141,000 that qualify for admission to diploma study, we have in excess of 260,000 learners that qualify for admission to higher education. And if one looks at that in terms of percentage-wise, we have almost 52% of our learners that now qualify for admission to higher education. And I'm qualifying that statement by saying that 28% qualify for diploma studies and 24% qualify for bachelor studies. But learners have access to higher education, which is sometimes a point we miss. And I thought, Honorable Chair, that I should just emphasize that. The other important slide is also for us to continuously reflect on our inputs in terms of learners with special needs. And Honorable Chair, if one looks at this particular slide, it looks at the number of learners that enter for the endorsed metric, which is the five-subject metric, which is a special provision for learners with special needs. And of the 957 that entered, 881 wrote, and 663 of these learners have passed, that they have a certificate. And I think that is a significant achievement, although that the numbers that write are still low. And I think as a department, we are looking specifically at those numbers, and we have to increase the uptake in that regard. I then want to move, Honorable Chair, to the distinction. Because sometimes I think we focus on failure rates and pass rates, and we forget about learners and looking at excellence in terms of the NSC. And what we did here, Honorable Chair, we compared the distinctions of 2010 with 2011. Now, on a comparative basis, we're not doing as well in terms of numbers, simply because our overall admission numbers or entry numbers have dropped. But it's interesting, Honorable Chair, that if one looks at a subject like accounting, we have 1,000 more distinctions in the case of accounting. And we know that accounting has been one of our more challenging subjects over the years. But at the upper end, we're doing fairly well in terms of the 1,000 additional distinctions. Business studies, there's been an overall improvement in business studies, and we have an additional 2,000 distinctions in the case of a business study. Of concern are the subjects listed lower down on the table, life sciences, math literacy, mathematics, physical science, where our numbers have dropped in terms of the number of distinctions. But partly the reason is because our overall enrollment in these subjects have dropped, and that's an issue that we are looking at. District performance, I think this is important in terms of the way forward, and I think the Minister has come up strongly that our focus in 2012 will be on underperforming districts. And we've declared, and the Minister has declared, that those 5 plus 10 districts which have performed below 60% would become the focus of the DBE intervention in 2012. And interesting that of those 15 districts, 6 of those districts are located in the Eastern Cape. So the Eastern Cape certainly warrants special attention. What we thought was also important, Honorable Chair, is to look at some of the targets. I'm not going to look at all of them, but just look at the batch 2000, in terms of the short term and how we are doing, in terms of our action plan 2014 towards schooling 2025, we've set specific targets for 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, and the like. And if one looks at our target for 2011 in terms of bachelor passes, our target was set at 136. And if one looks at the numbers in terms of what we've achieved 120,000, which means we are 16,000 below our target. And this we've taken a serious note of, and the department will muster its efforts in this particular regard to make sure we make good in terms of the deficit with regard to the target set. What is also interesting, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, is that if one looks at the breakdown of the targets in terms of provinces, there are at least two provinces that have not just met their targets, but exceeded their targets in terms of bachelor marks. If one looks at the Free State, the figure in green, and one looks at Mpumalanga, and our 2011 target for Free State was 6,339 bachelor passes, but Free State achieved 6,817. So it's almost 500 in excess of the target. Mpumalanga, a target of 8,700, and they in 2011 achieved the target of 8,886. So I think, Honourable Chair, what one needs to do is one needs to, in terms of 2012, focus on individual provinces and look at to what extent are they meeting their targets. And I think if we take care of the individual provinces, the whole or the national figure will take care of itself. But we're also mindful of our bigger provinces like KZN, obviously, that's almost 6,000 below target, Gauteng almost 3,000 below target. This slide summarizes what I mentioned already, Honourable Chair, but to also mention that the drop in enrollment is doing us no good in terms of meeting the final target with regard to bachelor. This is the part of the report that is also new, Honourable Chair. It's the diagnostic subject report. I think what we've come to realize that if we want to see an improvement in the classroom, then we need to use the NSC results as a key diagnostic tool. Just as you would go to a doctor, and the doctor would do an accurate diagnosis of what your problems are, the NSC is not there to just indicate that the system is performing at a particular level, but it's about doing that detailed diagnosis in terms of particular subjects. And what I can say, Honourable Chair, is that for the first time we've put together a detailed report, which I have in my possession, which looks at each of the subjects and looks at a detail in terms of what the specific problems are with regard to each of the subjects. And I'm going to go through some of these issues, but not go through all of them, Honourable Chair, because of the time factor. These are the subjects that we have diagnosed in detail. And what we did, which we didn't do previously, we looked at 100 scripts per marking centre. We have a total of 123 marking centres, and each of these marking centres, we looked at 100 scripts, looked at the kind of responses that are being provided by learners, and then put together a report. And the scripts we looked at covered your low, medium, and high, and looked at where learners were going wrong. And this was based on the comments that we had from our chief markers, senior markers, and our markers. The general findings are quite interesting, is that overall our markers are telling us there's an improvement, a steady improvement in the quality of responses that candidates are providing in most subjects. And what is more important is that even where candidates did not obtain full marks, they were not totally off the mark. So they had a sense of what the kind of response was required. And this indicates, Honourable Members, that we are on the right track. And I think with that additional initiative and support, that initial improvement that we're seeing can be harnessed in all our schools. But we're also finding out that there's an inability amongst our learners to answer high-order thinking skills like problem-solving, critical thinking, analysis and evaluation. And at the end of the day, Honourable Members, that is what counts when a learner gets out into the world of work. It's to what relating to foundational competencies and basic concepts which negatively impact on advanced learning and understanding. So our learners are not mastering foundational skills. Now, as much as this is negative, but for me it's a positive in the sense that we need to get the basic right in terms of teaching and learning. And if those foundational skills can be put in place, which does not require too much of an effort, we can see a drastic improvement. And also, Honorable Chair, inadequate literacy and numeracy skills. We find that whenever learners are required to provide a detailed written response, that's where they tend to fumble and flounder. And therefore, we're thinking that the improvement in terms of language skill is critical. Madam Chair, I'm not going to go through each of the subjects, but this just gives you a sense of what are some of the issues that we are going to be focusing on. And we've also looked at the specific causes of the problems that were picked up. It's interesting that in the case of physical science, that some of our recall questions were not responded to well. And here it simply means that our teachers are not focusing on the basics. And also we find that, Honorable Chair, is that there seems to be a knowledge deficit, which is a kind of accrual over the years, where in possibly lower grades, either the teachers not being well equipped to deal with certain fundamental skills, and this build-up then frustrates learners as they move on to higher grades. I'm just going to flip through all of these and possibly then move on to the Umalusi report, which was provided to the Minister of Education prior to the release. And we thought that with Umalusi presenting immediately after us, that we need to be proactive. And what we've done, Honorable Chair, is to look at some of the critical issues that have been presented by Umalusi. And I think the Umalusi report provides the Department of Basic Education with valuable improvement aspects. And we've gone through the report in much detail. And I'm just going to highlight some of the critical issues because I think I have just over 5 minutes to go. Firstly, Umalusi raised concern about our adherence to the 18-month cycle. And I think this is a well-founded concern. If one wants to ensure that there's quality in the system, your papers should be set at least 18 months in advance. The commencement should start at least 18 months in advance. And I can say that question papers for 2012 are ready for external moderation as we talk. And we are hoping that the external moderation will be completed in finality by the 30th of June. Umalusi also raised concern about concurrent moderation, that the March paper and the November paper should be moderated simultaneously. I can also say that for the 2012 exam, that will certainly be implemented. Poor standard of English, first additional language. I think this was an interesting point that was raised, that if we want to get the language of learning and teaching in most of our schools right, one needs to make sure that the standard of that question paper is also appropriate. And we've taken heed of the comments of Umalusi, and we are in the process of appointing an independent panel that will investigate this issue together with Umalusi and come up with clear recommendations with regard to improving this particular area. An area of great concern, Honorable Chair, is school-based assessment, and Umalusi has raised concern about the synergy between the DBE and the Umalusi moderation processes, and I think what we're committing to do is to make sure that there would be pre-moderation discussions between Umalusi and DBE to ensure that that synergy is brought in. Substandard tasks that are set by our teachers, and I think this has been a complaint over the last 2 to 3 years, and for 2012, Honorable Chair, we're going to develop exemplar assessment tasks. Common assessment tasks in life orientation have already been developed, and I think this would assist in making sure that the standard of those tasks improve. Application of rubrics, we will deal with that in terms of our training of teachers. Lack of rigor of our moderation system at school and district level, and the DBE in 2012 will implement a focused district moderation approach where we focus on the district and what is happening at the district level in terms of moderation. Hypothesis testing in life sciences, that will involve a teacher development program. In terms of the conduct, there were a number of issues raised by Umalusi with regard to security, vacant post storage facilities, and independent centers, because we find that a number of our irregularities seem to occur at these independent centers. But I also need to qualify that, Honorable Chair, that it's not all independent centers, but it's mostly these fly-by-nights whom we are beginning to watch very closely. But for 2012, we are going to develop norms and standards for key examination processes, and we're going to monitor the application of these norms and standards so that we have a common approach to examination and to assessment across all 9 provinces. We're going to focus on provincial coordination, a differentiated monitoring approach, and we will make sure that all independent centers are audited. And where we think an independent center does not meet the criteria, they will be deregistered and not be allowed to implement the 2012 examination. Obviously, learners in those centers will be catered through other mechanisms that we have in place. Marking, Honorable Chair, has attracted a lot of attention in the 2012 examination, and Umalusi has raised concern about the large number of marking centers, and I can say, Honorable Chair, that there's a phased-in plan to reduce the number of marking centers. Now, one of the reasons why we have a higher number, 123, is simply because we do not have facilities in the country that can accommodate the large number of learners. So as a result, we have to distribute these marking centers. But what I can say, Honorable Members, that at each of these marking centers, there are strict quality control measures. And what is also important to understand that at a particular marking center, for example, in the KwaZulu-Natal province, you will have all the maths being marked at one particular center. So it's not like the marking of maths is distributed throughout the province. So the fact that it is localized or based at one center means there's control and there's a common standard across that province. And I can also say that in 2012, we are going to explore the possibility of centralized marking, where we have all the marking, for example, in mathematics being done centrally. But it's an exploratory study that we will undertake. Competency of markers. In 2012, we will make sure that across the entire country, a competency test will be written by all prospective markers. And we will not use this competency test as a punitive tool, but rather to ensure that the markers that get in are markers that have a sound knowledge of the content that is required to mark the subject. And where teachers need training, we will be able to identify the particular areas and deal with that. Quality control measures, I think there's a need for us to enhance our verification measures on an ongoing basis so that every script is marked accurately. And in conclusion, Honorable Chair, having presented all that I have in the short time, I think what is clear in terms of the national education system with reference to schooling is that we've set a new benchmark. The 70.2 becomes a new benchmark in the attainment of achievement rate. And there is no way in which we can drop beyond or below that particular benchmark. All efforts will be put in place to make sure that we go beyond. I think what is very encouraging, Honorable Chair, is that there's an improvement in percentage passes in 5 of the gateway subjects, 5 of the 11 subjects. So if we could get it right in 5, obviously, we can do it with a little more effort in the remaining 6. And I want to say that basic education sector will focus on underperforming districts, as I mentioned, and I think through that intervention, there can be much more focused attention on these districts that are not performing well. And there will be specific attention on mathematics, physical science, life sciences, economics, and accounting. And I'm hoping that when we get back to the 2013 Portfolio Committee in February, we can then proudly announce to you that there's been an improvement in these subjects that I've listed. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Pollard. I'd like to ask Mr. Paracci, is there anything that you'd like to add? Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from the honourable members. We see your hand. We start with the honourable Tekobo. Then we're going to the honourable Shwana Mashishi. We'll honourable Moni, honourable Kosana, and it will be honourable Smiles, honourable Lovemore, honourable Hanyahu. Ooh, I forgot the names almost. Honourable Makubela, and then lastly, if anyone picks up by their hand, the last person to ask a question will be the honourable Kina. Thank you. Before we start with the questioning, is there anything that you would like to ask the honourable member from NCLP, the chairperson, or will you do it after honourable Gina, if there's a question? Fine, thank you. Honourable Tekobo. And people, just remember, there's quite a number of questions we're asking today. It's our very first meeting. Two questions per person. Yes? Or have you got many? Yes?
Maybe this one we'll continue discussing and debating, Chairperson. I really need to be convinced. Dr. Polia speaks of we now have one level. The issue of higher grade, standard grade, lower grade, no longer there. And he concludes that we have one level. It is higher grade. I want him to support his statement. Well, I mean, this conclusion, I think it needs justification. Some of us think it's something in between, in fact, very close to standard grade. He also says Eastern Cape warrants special attention. We agree, sir. Now the question is, maybe at this also, Chairperson, we might have to come back again and talk about the Eastern Cape and what is happening now. They warrant special attention, but what is happening now in the Eastern Cape? Where is the special attention? Because the kind of things that we hear are not good. Chairperson, this thing of physical science and the conclusion, one of the possible causes, teachers are not conducting experiments. Do schools have laboratories? That we can conclude that it is the teachers who are not conducting experiments, because in our walkabout, we actually find that schools don't have laboratories. Was that a possible cause? Because for me, Chairperson, if we say teachers have the things, they are just not using them. Is that a fair question? Now, also, Chairperson, this thing of the number of marking centers. I mean, I heard this, it was a big issue when people were discussing during the release. And I'm asking myself, what is the problem? For me, it doesn't matter how many, as long as you know, where I come from, I know at that school they mark Africans. And then at that school they mark history. What's the fun bringing Africans and history together? They have nothing to do with each other. Except that you might just bring congestion and therefore bring more problems. Because for me, the smaller the groups and the more manageable they become. I don't know what's the fun. Very soon we'll be having, maybe they're going to one university and the whole province is there. I don't know what kind of problems you are going to have. What is the prejudice if you have many exams, marking centers, as long as you know which learning area is marked in which area? I really don't understand what the concern is. I'm actually concerned that the department has, you are biting now. The media has been saying there are too many. Now you are also saying there are too many. So what? What is the problem, if there are many? Now, last for now, the issue of competency tests for markers. Who's going to mark this one? And what is the competency of these people who are going to mark the markers?
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Honorable Mushwana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I speak to the two questions that you allocated for us. And I have made, trust me, but I'm starting a year in a positive manner, I believe. The first one is to congratulate, it's not a question, the department also for, I mean, if you have achieved better than last year, we all need to definitely, we're proud. We walk about and people are talking good of education and we were getting all the credit. Thank you very much for that. But then you did not achieve your target. That's the first question. But I'm checking how realistic was the target. Because sometimes we come with unrealistic targets. I'm not saying you did. I'm just checking if it was realistic. If it was, and you didn't achieve it, perhaps you have a plan to make sure that the next time you come with a target, you definitely get it and we can go about it. The second one, you don't have lights. You report that you don't have lights or not enough facilities. Is there a plan to large enough facilities to accommodate the large number? Is there a plan to change? Because the last time I checked, the schools are built in a particular manner to accommodate a particular number. Do you have a plan to change things? Thank you. Those are the two from the 10 questions that I have. Thank you.
Next member.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I'd like to thank for the department for the good job well done. And then my question will be on page 18 on the overall performance of learners with special needs. I've seen the numbers of learners entered, but when I check how many of them wrote, I see the difference. What happened there? And then again on the general findings, I heard that they talked about learners fumble in language. So I just need the action plan. When are you going to improve? Because now it's February. So lastly, Chairperson, on the conclusion, on the underperforming district, because my district is one of the underperforming ones. I just want to know how and when is the assistance going to be done. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. In solidarity with you with regard to time, I will ask one question. I've seen in the diagnostic subject report, there is an assertion that there are improvements in the quality of responses by those who wrote exams. And then somewhere it also says there is inadequacy with regard to numeracy and literacy. Then my question is, are these improvements in quality of responses not related to improvements in numeracy and literacy?
Thank you, Chairperson. And my question is also related to the competency test. I just want to get a sense of a relationship, in fact, of an understanding between the department and the unions on this matter. Because it seems we're talking about the matter which is contested somewhere in the media. But can we get a sense of how are you going to address that so that you can have same understanding in dealing with this matter. And also the issue of Eastern Cape is an issue that is giving us a problem, particularly as leaders. Is there any plan in addressing that problem? Because education is not running in that area. If it is running, not in all areas it's running normally. Can we get a sense or a plan that you have of what are you doing now in addressing that matter? Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I was covered with regard to the Eastern Cape, so I'm not going to repeat, but we need to know what's happening there, and especially with regard to our learners, because the results and targets will not be met if things are happening the way they are happening currently. Chairperson, I want to ask a question with regard to the drop in numbers of matrics, the drop in numbers. And one reason for the drop was it was sort of not emphatically stated as one reason, as standardization is one reason for the drop. Are there any other reasons? We would like to know. And then maybe whilst responding to that question, we've also noted the increase of part-time numbers. So maybe we have to look and give a comparison what is happening with in that regard. Chairperson, may I then also say, let's assume that the NSC is better than the SC. But then we need to look at the general findings which you have listed, the inability to read and to comprehend higher level questions. Now, looking in your general findings and the sort of attributes that you give to the NSC, what is going to happen so that there is no any doubt about the quality of the NSC? Talking to the general findings that you made. Then, Chairperson, the last question, and that is with regard to the diagnostic subject report, which I appreciate, and I'm sure we will get a copy of that report. But now, I want to ask a question, and I don't have the question paper yet. I've heard from one teacher in mathematical literacy, there is a question which reads as follows, and I speak under correction. How many eggs in the grade 12? How many eggs in 2.5 dozen? Now, my question is, what is being tested? What is being tested? Do you want to test the concept of a dozen? Do you want to test the manipulation of 2.5? You know, what is being tested? And at that level for a grade 12? I'm asking myself. I speak under correction. It needs to be investigated. I make a fool out of myself to risk. But I'm sure this teacher is a mathematics teacher. He knows what he's talking about. So that question was there. So please, I don't understand why that kind of question is in that math paper. Yeah, Chairperson, then SBA and life orientation. School-based assessments and life orientation. And let me, without, you know, being, how can I say, arrogant or... there are loopholes in those two areas. You see the kind of results we get in life orientation, so mahala is happening there. Excuse me for that using that term. Mahala is happening. School-based assessments. Teachers that do not do their work will use school-based assessments to justify themselves. They will also give mahala in that area. So we need to strengthen those two things and make sure that we do better than we currently do. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot. And I don't think you are making a fool of yourself. Everyone has a right to ask questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be as brief as possible. And... yeah, I did mention that this is my first meeting, so please do understand that I'm also developing an understanding. You made reference to possible causes of problems in various areas where there were drops in pass rates, particularly maths, physical science, etc. One of the possible causes that you did not mention was the strike and the involvement of SATU in education. I'm also from the Eastern Cape, and our children are feeling this. My question to you is simply, did SATU and the strike not play a role? You haven't made mention of it at all. This may be, sir, your way of talking, and I might be misinterpreting it, but I didn't. I found the statement, we think that the standard in grade 10 needs to be in sync with that in grade 12, disturbing. Because we shouldn't just think of it, it has to be in sync with grade 12. And I hope that's what you meant, and perhaps the choice of words was, as I say, just your style. But I'm interested in your comment on that, if you can give it. The literacy and numeracy tests have started coming out from the interim testing. They are poor, exceptionally poor. And this is, I'm sure, going to impact on future matric results or NSC results, and how that will be, how that is being dealt with within the department. One of the criticisms that was levelled at the results was that the dropout rate is not taken into account. So you are saying so many people registered for the exam. So many passed, therefore we've got a pass rate of so many percent, without going back and saying so many people were originally in grade 1 and never made it to matric. That is not taken into account. Is it indeed calculated within the department and utilized? Because you make reference to improvement, but in fact you've got a much lower number of scholars writing the exams, which might certainly point to a lack of improvement in other areas. Chair, very quickly, slide 48, page 24, makes reference to the targets for bachelors. Now, are there similar targets for other higher education and FET targets, etc.? This is only for bachelors. And that's one part of the question. The other part of the question is the targets do go up every year, which indicates that you obviously want an increase in pass rates. Is it also incorporating, however, an increase in the number of students who are actually writing the exams in grade 12? And then my last question, Chair, is on page, or refers to page 33. The third slide on page 33, Umalusi findings, indicates, it's C on that first slide, question paper, that there was a poor standard of English first additional language. Now, those were papers that were moderated by Umalusi, that were presented to the students, to all the scholars, they wrote the exam. How is it that we ended up with a poor standard of a paper at that level, and what does that say about benchmarking generally? It's a very, very concerning statement, that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just an observation which perhaps might also be observed further. I brought this book along. I don't know if I was wrong in bringing this one along, which we got when we went for the results in Pretoria. Now, the information I have here, unfortunately, was used wrongly when I went to one school to have my granddaughter registered there, and I made a remark to one of the teachers. Actually, I congratulated the school for the good performance, 100% pass rate. And he was surprised, and he said, no, that is not our school, and then I kept quiet. But I didn't want to take it further, but it is true. In this book, the school has 100%, but in the school, it is not 100%. So maybe you need to look at that. So I think it's an observation that can be observed further. I don't want an answer. I just want to bring this to your attention. On page 283, I'm not going to mention the name of the school. On page 283, the school is number 7 from the bottom. Page 283, number 7 from the bottom. Luckily, you don't have the book, so you can't check it now. So, go and do it, and maybe
thanks for
next
that
time
one.
When we meet, I'll get a comment.
Thanks a lot for that one. I think after the meeting to the Honorable Hanyaho, I have to just speak to Mrs. Carlson. Thank you. We're going now to Honorable Makubela and then Honorable Gina.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Chair, in the presentation that we've got, one of the comments that I heard was the drop of numbers in grade 12. And I begin to wonder as to say what contributes to the drop of numbers in grade 12. I'm just posing this question as to, is it not because as a country, yes, grade 12, we are still measuring our system as a result of grade 12, and I think with all the schools, for the schools to be perceived as the good school, it must have good results or the higher percentage for grade 12 for the metrics. So can't it be that most of our learners are withheld in these grades so that a fewer number gets into grade 12 for us to say the school is performing, the school is, you know. I think that's one of the areas that we need to look at, because during even our oversight visit to some of the provinces that we had, we went to, there was a school where, when you look at the pass rate of all the grades, it was just a disaster where in one of the grades only two learners could pass, so that they make sure that they gatekeep for the grade 12 so that a fewer numbers get into grade 12, because that is one of the things that I think we need to look at, is to say, if we say a school has performed, has got 90% of how many entrants have got into metric. So now I think we are disadvantaging most of our learners just because the school wants to get that good name of having a higher pass rate, and throughout the way in other grades we are disadvantaging other learners. I don't know really, I don't have an answer for now as to what is it that we need to look at, but for us really to have to know exactly that the numbers are dropping in grade 12, that is an indication of something that is going wrong in with other grades, and I think that's one of the areas that we need to look at. Number two, Chair, in the presentation, it's good that we see that there are plans around the issues of making sure that the district officers, they know what is it that they do, more especially when it comes to SBAs, moderation of tests, and also the training of the teachers, because even from the NIDU reports, Chairperson, you'll remember that one of the findings was that the quality of questions that our teachers come up with are not up to standard. Then when these learners get into to write the final year examination and metric, that is where they get to encounter all these levels of questioning, of which it's something that they have not been going through. My worry will be, at this juncture, if the presenter says, we will. March is coming, we will be sitting for the if we can have a program as to say, when are we going to start with these trainings? Because I think those will be the very important training if you go and train those teachers as to how what is expected of them, what's on the SBAs. And when you come to common tests, you know, sometimes it's good for us to go to these oversights because we learn so many things other than sitting in the offices. I'm very worried just to say how common are those tests are. You cannot believe that coming from the mouth of the teacher when you ask around the issues of the common test. Yes, those common tests can be set, and they are left to schools. You know, the teacher will go into those exam rooms and say, don't consider question A, you know, but we as teachers in the offices will get the report from the department. Yes, they have been common because they have been set, but is it common what is done down there? It's not, because the teachers, they are the ones who are presiding over these common tests, and you find that from that common paper that has been said, only one question from that common paper will be written in that school. The rest is not what is in the paper. And they know, we don't have yet the measures of making sure that even the common test, they do address the issues that we want to address. So I think those are some of the loopholes that we still need to sit together and make sure, how do we make sure that what is happening during the course of the year does talk to the thing that we'll be expecting at the end of the year. Chair, when it comes to learners with special needs, I think we need to commend the department. Yes, we see the increase in numbers, but I still feel much still needs to be done. for me, it's not acceptable that we have got provinces where there is no learner at all in speaker needs. I was saying, I won't say they are blessed, but I was saying, you know, I was saying really in those provinces, looking at provinces, I will be biased, like UK, like KZN, only 6 learners with special needs. For me, it shows that there is still a problem there, but Chair, I know we're still going to engage with the directorate of special needs, but I think really as a country, we are not yet there when it comes to that. I think we're still, I won't say discriminating, but that is an area that we haven't tapped to the way that that is expected of us. Chair, allow me to speak again on these marking centres. I would concur with Honourable De Kock. Can I be convinced? What is wrong with the large number of marking centres? Do you want to have fewer marking centres with fewer teachers that are going to mark, and we expect them to do proper job? I don't know. Really, really, as Honourable De Kock has said, this has been an argument that has started long ago, but it doesn't make sense to me as to. But I think even because of the findings from Umadis will talk to that, what's the issue if the marking centres are, we have got a large number of marking centres as we have. That is a large number of marking centres vis-a-vis the quality of marking. I don't know. Please, can we get a clarity on that one? Lastly, Chair, we talk of competency test for the markers. That is a clear indication that we see that markers, it means they are shortcomings on our markers as such. And these markers are the teachers that are taken from grade 12, that are teaching grade 12, that will leave our learners for the whole year to be under these teachers, that yet at the end of the year we subject these teachers to the competency test. Can't we have this competency test maybe then during the beginning of the year, or as part of the retraining of the educators that we want? Because the instruments that they will use for these teachers to mark those final year examinations, I think those are the skills that we need even during the course of the year. To say these are the skills that we need in our teachers so that at the end we expect good results. So can't we not reserve these only for the end of the year, but whatever training that is going to be given to these teachers and the test that is going to be given to these, be given to all the teachers that are teaching in metric, or all the teachers that are in the FET band, so that at least we know the country, we have got the quality teachers in that band that we are proud of, and we have confidence that they are going to produce the necessary results that we are expecting. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Nina. I have about 3 questions. But I think with some of my questions, the department has to think about it. But the one is a correction, and I would like the department to go into it. It's when it comes to special schools, and it's Mpumalanga. There's a north there. I got my course staff to phone the department there. They say they had 2 schools. Half my high school had 6 learners enrolled. They wrote and they passed. Fall River High School had 5 learners. They wrote and they passed. So I think you have to just look into that to verify, because we have the name of the person that the researchers spoke to. Then when it comes to, you know, our results, when we speak to quality education, there's quite a number of factors that influence quality education. And I want the department to think on this question when it comes to financial management. Because when you look at financial management of the different provinces, where province has unqualified reports, they do very well. We can take Western Cape there and Gauteng. We look at the Eastern Cape, they have a disclaimer and they did very bad. And you can look, you know, like we have quite a number. You can look, for example, at, you know, the places where they have qualified reports to. Northern Cape, Northwest. The results are improved, but it also gives you a kind of a trend that there's something wrong. So I think when it comes to, you know, taking the two into account, financial management and the results, and I'd like the department to think about that. And then at the later stage, I'm sure when we discuss the your strategic plan and your operational plan and your ICP, so you can, we can just speak to that too, because we want to have a separate meeting on finances. Then when it comes to the Eastern Cape, I think the department can speak to us briefly about what is happening. Because as we know, it was brought up, there is a go slow when it comes to Sutton. And I would like to know what the department do to call in all stakeholders to speak to this. Because it's a great concern for the committee. And just brief us on what is happening, because we know that the victims there will be the learners in the old end. The other questions are put into the brief summary, because we help the department, and the department leaves, that the department know exactly what we expect from them. I'd like you to answer the questions. They overlap. And just do it briefly. And I'm giving the department only 20 minutes to do it. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, we'll start with Mr. Mwede to take the broader and more general questions, and then we'll take Dr. Pollier to follow up on the more specific technical aspects of the question. Thank you.
And let's, when it comes to those questions on Amalusi, when they speak to their report, they can speak to those questions too. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, thank you very much. let me say, if one were to just respond broadly on what the department is doing, one would latch onto the national strategy for learner attainment that the department is implementing. From the 16th to the 18th of January, provinces converged. Agencies that the department is working with, including Umalusi, SAQA, and others, we met to finalize these plans. These plans are being implemented by provinces as we speak. Encapsulated in the National Strategy for Learner Attainment is a tool to monitor curriculum coverage. One of the major challenges that our schools are faced with is the inability to cover what should be covered within the academic year. So that tool will be uniformly implemented, monitored on monthly basis by circuit managers and other foot soldiers. We now also have the National Strategy for Learner Attainment Framework. This framework has 104 activities. Core to these activities is the delivery of the curriculum. And everything else that is expected to support the delivery of the curriculum, such as delivery of LTSM, support of psychological and social services, including inclusive education. We also have now what we are implementing, which is called School-Based Learner Attainment Strategy, LACE, for all underperforming schools, which is somewhat optional to those schools that are doing very well. But those that are underperforming, particularly in grade 12, it's mandatory for them to implement. May I also mention, Honorable Chair and members, that the framework is not only applicable to grade 12, the framework for general education and training band, as well as the further education and training band. In other words, the framework of 104 activities stipulates exactly what is to be done every month in all our schools, starting from grade R up to grade 12. We also implementing for this year, for the first time, the mentorship program for underperforming schools. The reason why Bushbuckridge in Mpumalanga improved by about 30% is because the Premier and the Executive Council of Mpumalanga took a conscious decision to adopt and mentor the underperforming circuits of Bushbuck Ridge. And we are saying we have solicited good lessons from that experience. The Northern Cape was the first province that implemented this a few years ago. Unfortunately, they dropped the ball, and probably that's why they dropped by 4%. And we are saying this is working. It's working in the Northwest. The Northwest has one of the most sustainable improvement plans of all the nine provinces. Ever since 2006, I think it's one province that has been sustaining its improvement throughout. The other intervention is, of course, the instruments that you are using to monitor on a quarterly basis, as well as the district focus teams. And the first district to receive that attention is Mount Frere. The minister, together with members of the Executive Council of the Eastern Cape, were in Mount Frere a week ago for 2 weeks, focusing on that district as one of the districts that are going to receive intervention. That's part of what we are doing already in the Eastern Cape. And there are system-wide interventions. And quickly, the system-wide interventions are the implementation of the Early Childhood Development Plan to make sure that we have a sound ECD, a sound foundation for learners to be able to improve in literacy and numeracy. The second intervention is the implementation of the Literacy and the Numeracy Plan, which focuses on grade R to grade 9. And the third intervention, which is system-wide, is the math and science strategy. And all of these interventions have targets linked to them. And these targets come from the action plan to 2014, action plan to 2014 towards schooling 2025. These targets are there, but these plans are actually to actualize, and they break them down in terms of what is expected for each and every province. And then we also have a strategy for inclusive education. In this regard, we are targeting learners or special education needs who are outside the system, who are supposed to be in the system. And we are working with NGOs and other role players to make sure that those learners also form part of our schooling system. The second part of the inclusive ed strategy is to deal with learners who experience barriers to learning. We are making it part of everything that we do in the system, that learners who experience barriers to learning, and these barriers to learning are experienced in the main in your ordinary schools. People think that inclusive education is for learners with special education needs. 80% of our learners in the system require intervention in inclusive education to deal with barriers to learning. And then the other system-wide intervention relates to e-education. Our learners enjoy learning from using gadgets, cell phones, and so on. And we are saying our learning support material will have to be on a soft mode. In other words, we have to put them on an electronic platform so that most of our learners will find it exciting to access information, and not only to revert to textbooks. Textbooks will always be needed. They are very important. But also to make sure that we target the platform that is more exciting to our young people. And the last one, system-wide intervention, is the workbook and textbook utilization strategy. We have, last year we delivered 24 million workbooks to 6,000 schools. This year we're delivering 54 million workbooks and textbooks for math, science, and math and science in grade 10, 11, and 12. We are improving our textbook coverage rate. The last research indicated that South Africa was at 45%. If you compare with Swaziland was at 85%. And we want to make sure that we substantially move towards 85% and even more. We now have these workbooks in the system. We do have textbooks. We are saying to find ways to optimize the utilization by teachers and learners. And we have developed that strategy, which is being implemented. Chairperson, in respect of the Eastern Cape again, let me just indicate that I know that the Minister and Deputy Minister and the DG would have responded much more adequate than I would do on this one. But being somebody who was once assigned that responsibility, the assignment slightly changed in the sense that there's been an agreement that the province will implement the intervention. National will do what the Constitution and other prescripts dictate that the national government must do, which is to monitor. The monitoring team went to the Eastern Cape in December. I think the report has been generated to be shared with the President and Cabinet. And that's the role that we are playing as DDE. May I also indicate that, probably on a lighter note, Chairperson, you would recall, particularly members of the NCOP, when they were there, we shared a report which indicated that we had special interventions in respect of improving learner performance. We had winter schools, and we also had meetings with all schools in the province to improve learner performance. All the 23 districts were visited. And I must say, Chairperson, well, from a positive point of view, the reason why Eastern Cape dropped by 0.2% as compared to Northern Cape, which dropped by 4%, for me it says that the interventions did go some way in terms of maybe assisting learners in the Eastern Cape. The unfortunate bit is that the Eastern Cape was position 7, and when it dropped, it had to go to position 9. These interventions that I've alluded to do apply to all provinces, but there's a special focus on the Eastern Cape. DDG Palesa Kyobeka has been directed by the minister to coordinate interventions, district interventions in the Eastern Cape last week. So there is that focus in terms of the Eastern Cape and all other districts. The SATU and strike last year, unfortunately, Honorable Chair, or fortunately, we never had a strike. I stayed there up to the end of the year. There was no strike in the Eastern Cape or anywhere else in the country. And SATU supported the intervention. And the minister is worried about what is obtaining currently. And this matter was also discussed last week with the MEC and the members of the Provincial Executive Council, that role players must find one another. The interest of the learner should be protected. Thanks.
Thank you for that. And I think tomorrow we do our quarterly report. Just speak to the workbooks, because we were in about 3 provinces, and you know, when we went to the schools, they didn't receive the workbooks. So just bring it up in your quarterly report tomorrow. Thank you. And don't worry about the question on the strike of last year, because such a said they were going to strike, but they didn't do it. You'll get used to everything. It's said and it's not done. And it was in the papers, but I don't think anything took place. Mr. Pollard?
thank you, Honourable Chair, and I just want to thank the Honourable Members for the questions that I've raised, which are very helpful in terms of us moving forward. I'm going to try and be as short as possible. In terms of the question relating to levels and the comparison of the current one level to higher grade, standard grade, I must say that any kind of comparison, particularly when one is not comparing apples with apples, becomes very complicated. And all I can say is that we are developing a standard of question paper and curriculum that is internationally comparable. Obviously, it has to take cognizance of the fact that there were 2 streams of learners in the old. Now, maybe the one bit of information that I can provide, Honorable Chair, that may be encouraging, is that in terms of the new curriculum and the new question papers for mathematics, we compared the mathematics paper, the NSC mathematics, with Scottish Qualifications Authority, Cambridge, as well as New South Wales. And all the majority of these international examining bodies have agreed that the mathematics paper is internationally comparable, which means it's comparable to the standards of Scottish qualifications, New South Wales, as well as Cambridge, which therefore confirms that we're moving forward. And I think the higher grade standard grade served a particular role in a particular context. Now we're developing one common standard which must meet the needs of our learners and also be internationally comparable. I'll try and group the questions. In terms of the marking centers, I think the point is well taken. I mean, we need to clearly understand what is the issue. And I think the issue is not about the large number, but the issue is about us as a country finally getting to a point where, for example, mathematics in South Africa should be marked at one point. But currently, because mathematics is marked by the 9 provinces, so one needs to be absolutely certain that the standards of marking at these 9 provincial centers are the same. And there are various options that we are exploring, and one of them is e-mark, where you mark on screen, so irrespective of where you are, it can be controlled. But also I want to not put any kind of doubt in the minds of the committee, in the sense that we have very good control measures in place currently in terms of how marking is managed. For example, for every 7 markers, you have 1 senior marker. And for every 7 senior markers, and in some provinces, that has been reduced to 5:1. So for every 5 to 7 senior markers, you have 1 deputy chief marker. So the standards are maintained. And it's the responsibility of the DBE through its external moderation process, together with the Ubalusi, to make sure that the standards for mass marking, for example, across the 9 provinces are equivalent. And we think we are getting there in terms of this common standing, common standard across provinces. Competency tests, I think that's an important point in terms of who will mark those tests. What we are saying is that the way it will be implemented in 2 tiers. Firstly, we need to appoint our senior markers, and they will write a separate test. Once you've appointed the senior markers, who are your more experienced markers, those senior markers will then be used to mark the test of the large number of prospective markers. And that's the process we think we will hope to follow. And we're also looking at having a common competency test across the whole country, so that that also sets a common standard in terms of the appointment level. In terms of our targets, I agree with you that when the targets were set, we looked at numbers being stable. In other words, enrollment figures being the same. And one did not foresee the fact that our numbers are going to drop. And therefore, I am sure that we need to review our targets in the light of the fact that our enrollment figures are dropping. Going back to marking again, we can accommodate large number of markers, for example, at our university. But what we're finding is that universities are charging us exorbitant fees to accommodate the marking process. But that's something we still need to explore, but I agree with you that it needs serious thought, and I'm sure Umalusi will also add to that. In terms of the whole special needs issue, I think the point that I needed to clarify, Honorable Chair, is that when we talk about 881 learners that finally wrote, we're talking about 881 learners that wrote the endorsed grade 12. Now, the endorsed grade 12 would be learners that take a 5-subject matric. But what we find happening, honorable members, is that a large number of learners with special needs will go ahead and write the normal 7-subject matric and pass. Now, those learners are not included in the 881. And I think that's something we need to track, and one will find that that number will increase substantially. In terms of dropout rates, I agree with you that there's certainly gatekeeping by our principals, and that's something we will be monitoring very closely and make sure that principals are not playing the numbers game and keeping our numbers down. In fact, this year, we we will do an audit of all the grade 9 passes or the grade 11 passes to make sure that no learner has been kept back simply because the school wants to keep a good crop moving into grade 12. The whole issue again of comparison of NSC and senior service, I think the point I was trying to make, if one compares qualification for qualification, I think both the qualifications are comparable, or possibly the NSC of a higher standard. But obviously, the real test is in the implementation. And I think that's where we're struggling in terms of implementing this new qualification and making sure that it produces the desired quality and standard that is embodied in the curriculum documents. That question about maths, literacy and TwinApp doesn't, Umalusi as well as the Department of Basic Education will certainly follow that up, and if that's the case, then it certainly cannot recur, but we will certainly follow that up. In terms of SBA, I also want to clarify that Umalusi, and possibly Umalusi will talk more about this, is that currently it does not mean that any mark awarded by the teacher gets accepted and captured by examination system. Umalusi does a statistical moderation where every SBA mark for every learner is compared to his examination mark. And if that mark is too high, it's adjusted to be in sync with the examination mark. So in that way, we keep the SBA mark within a certain range of the examination mark, and that also does not impact on the standard of the final certificate. I think also I must clarify when I spoke about the grade 10. What I was saying is that we are setting the standard at the grade 11 level. But at the grade 10 level, because these tests and examinations are set by teachers across the whole country, we are not sure of what that standard is. And this is why we need to move towards a system of setting common tests in grade 10 as well, so that we can get the standard right. And I agree with you, Honourable Member, that the grade 10 standard must be in sync with the grade 11 and grade 12. And I think we're getting it right at grade 11, but at grade 10, I think that's where the problem lies. I must apologize for that error, Honourable Member. What we realized that after the book was printed, that during the typesetting and printing process, there was a shift in one table. And we found that, fortunately, it only happened in one province with a few schools. So what happened is that the percentages moved down, one down. And we corrected that immediately, and if you get onto the website, currently, the correct results per school is listed. So my apologies for that particular error. And I must conclude, I think I've covered the competency test, and I agree with the Honourable Member about the fact that we need to also use competency tests in terms of the capacity of these teachers in terms of teaching and learning. But I think starting with the marking is possibly the first step, and we can then use that information in terms of the impact of teaching and learning. And I hope that I've covered all the other specific issues relating to exams and assessment.
We'll accept the answers that were given, but I think, like I said, for tomorrow, we'd like you to speak to the workbook. And another important question too for tomorrow would be your norms and standards when it comes to infrastructure, because I think the department has guidelines. You know, the department has to just clarify that with us. Then when it comes to what I want you to do, there were general findings that the department had, and then the findings of Umalusi. And I think it's going to be important to see how this filters into your ICP and operational plan when you come back with the budget, the policy speech. And you give us the strategic plan, but show us how this filters into your annual performance plan and your operational plan. Because you see, there will be a program of action. Then, you have a phased-in plan to reduce the marking centres. I think it will be important for us to have this plan. when we speak to infrastructure tomorrow, there was a question that came from Honorable Dekobo, and he spoke to the laboratories. Speak to that tomorrow too, because there were quite a number of schools we went to, and there were no laboratories. The other input that I think will be very important, because quite a number of members spoke to it, it will be the Eastern Cape. We need to have a separate meeting where we can speak to the Eastern Cape, that all members could be on the same page. So I'm making a request to the department just to prepare for that meeting. I'll be closing the session now with the department, and I'll hand over to Uma Lucy, and I think I'll give you half an hour to present your report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to the honourable members of the committee. We're very thankful of this opportunity to present the quality assurance report to you, the elected representatives of the people, and the accounting officials of the nation. Our apologies from the chairperson of council, Professor Cesar Mabuzela, Chair, and we really want to also thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for attending the standardization meeting on the 23rd of December. Your presence really did contribute to endorse the credibility of the standardization process. The other stakeholders who attended and observed our standardization processes include HISA, SACWA, and the unions. Uma Lucy, Chair, remains committed to executing the mandate with the public the standardization decisions. And Chair, of all the assurance the councils that we know, we remain unique in the world, that we are so far the only ones that make these standardization decisions public. Uma Lucy has celebrated the 10th year anniversary, and the theme for the 2010 was Strength, Growth and Stability. In quality assuring the National Senior Certificate, we promote standard, quality and growth. It has been 4 years since the implementation of the NSC, and we are confident to say that the qualification is maturing and stabilizing. The experience and issues of the past 3 years have contributed to improving the quality assurance process. To support the quality assurance of the NSC, Uma Lucy engaged in a number of short-term and long-term research projects. Uma Lucy once again conducted the post-exam analysis of the 10 gateway subjects to measure the consistency over time. The reports emanating from these investigations, Chair, were used in the standardization results. We really want to say, after looking at the end-of-year results, Uma Lucy was satisfied that the examinations were conducted in terms of the policy, and taking note that there was no serious irregularity which would compromise the examination, approved, Uma Lucy then approved the release of the results on the 30th of December 2011. I will hand over now to the CEO of Uma Lucy, Dr. Akomesi, to present the report. He will do so with the senior manager of quality assurance of standards, Mr. Naidu.
Thanks a lot, the CEO.
Thank you very much.
Switch off your mic, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Khwadi. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Mem Al-Khas, and the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Just 2 points before I get to the presentation. I need to appreciate the fact that two senior Uma Lucy Council members came with us to this presentation in the absence of Professor Mabuzela. They are very busy people in their own full-time jobs. Professor Khwadi is the director of the Mafeking campus of Northwest University, and Nefati Madada is the CEO of Pearson International in South Africa. So they are very busy there to chop and change their itineraries to fit in this engagement. So that is appreciated. The other point, Chair, with your permission, I want to request with all the humility that I can muster, and with due respect to the colleagues from the Department of Basic Education, I want to raise a concern that Umalusi's findings were presented by the department. Maybe in future it will be proper that Umalusi presents its own findings. That what we're going to be saying was preempted by the colleagues in the DD, I find a bit unfortunate. And maybe, Chair, we have to make a ruling on the matter. That's just a plea, and it is done in all humility. Can I get to the presentation now, Chair?
Thank you for that, CEO, because I think it was incorrect. And we'd like you to do your own work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Our presentation is going to be focusing on the content, principles, approaches, and processes. And first of all, maybe I need to focus on the regulatory framework that informs the quality assurance of assessment work of Umalusi. First of all, we derive our mandate from the National Qualification Framework Act, section number 28, 27H, that says the QC, which is Umalusi in this instance, must develop and implement policies and criteria for assessment for the qualifications on its framework. That we have done, that is where we are able to quality assure the national security. Further, that our own founding act, the General and Federal Education and Training Quality Assurance Act, section 17 thereof, says the following, that the council, with the concurrence of the Director General, and after consultation with the relevant assessment body or education institution, should approve the publication of the results of learners if the council is satisfied that the assessment body, in this instance the Department of Basic Education or Education Institute, has conducted the assessment free from any irregularity that may jeopardize the integrity of the assessment or its outcomes, has complied with the requirements prescribed by council for conducting the assessment, applies the standards prescribed by the council, which a learner is required to comply with in order to obtain a certificate, and complying with every other condition determined by the council. The framework for quality assurance of learner achievement is based on established and existing practices in assessment for certification. Prescribed components of external assessments are the actual examinations that the learners write, and the site-based assessments, which may call internal assessment or continuous assessment if you please. Use of systems, processes, procedures to evaluate, inspect, monitor, and report on examination systems, processes, and procedures of public and private assessment bodies. Umalusi also does the evaluation and or accreditation of assessment bodies. And I'm talking here of all the assessment bodies, the IEB, the ERCO, DHET, and DBE, and the periodic inspection of assessment systems and ongoing monitoring of assessment systems, quality assurance of external examination through the following processes: moderation of examination question papers, monitoring moderation of school-based assessments, monitoring the conduct of examinations, moderation of marking, and standardization of assessment outcomes. Approval of results. When we approve the results in the manner Professor Fadi has illustrated, We check compliance with minimum requirements. There is a shift from moderation to verification. In other words, we do moderation for verification, and we put emphasis on the assessment body report, the monitoring of the conduct of examination, and the moderation of marking, as well as the monitoring of the implementation of internal assessment, and the moderation of internal assessment is undertaken by Umalusi to verify the veracity of the assessment body report in respect of these processes. We also look look at the broken definition of irregularities, including assessment systems and processes. Now, the approval of the release of the examination is based on the following requirements. One, the examinations are conducted compliant to the applicable policies regulating the conduct and administration of the examination. And that is the time of the approval. There is no serious irregularity which could undermine the credibility of the examination. Chairperson, I pause and I'll come to areas of concern, areas of good practice, and also recommendations later. I'll hand over to Mr. Vijay Naidu to do the other part of the presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I will continue with the presentation and we'll take you through the processes that UMLUSI employed in terms of the quality assurance of the exam. And in so doing, I will try to address some of the questions that were raised. The first and most critical process that UMLUSI is involved in is with the moderation of the question papers. On the slide, there's just an indication there of the numbers. In terms of the November 2011, there were 135 question papers. And we provide the details in terms of the approval at first moderation, which is 41, 73 at second moderation, 18 at third moderation, and then 3 went to fourth moderation and beyond. And we provide this stats for two reasons. One is it helps us to monitor the quality of the papers that are coming through from the assessment body. And 41 being approved at first moderation is a significantly high percentage. But secondly, it is also to show the rigor of the moderation process, that some papers have to go through to third and even to fourth and subsequent moderations before UMLUSI is happy that those papers meet with the requirements as prescribed for the papers. So those figures actually are indications of both of those. At the bottom line there is just the March 2012, which is a supplementary question paper. You can see it's a fairly similar pattern to those above. Now, the purpose for moderating the question papers is to ensure that it's of the required standard. And I want to address the issue here very briefly around the English first additional language. The situation that we find ourselves in is that each question paper in our current system is set anew. You get a panel sitting and they would set a question paper and they're experts in the examining panels or experts in the internal moderation panels and also experts that UMLUSI would employ to do the external moderation. And the standard of that paper is captured in the subject assessment guidelines. And the true test of where those questions in that particular paper is pitched can only be ascertained once that exam has been written. If you look at other international systems, they have pre-tested items, where the items have been tested, and so you know that if a learner performs in a particular way in that question, these are the particular decisions you can make about that. We have not yet arrived in our system at that point where we have pre-tested items. So I think the point of the issue around the language or the standard of the English first additional language didn't come up at this point of the moderation. It's something that UMLUSI raised post the standardization. It was at the end of the process that we picked up that the indications are, by virtue of the learner performance, that this paper might have been on the easier side. And so the investigation is to actually ascertain whether that is true. Mm-hmm. And it's in our report, but as the department also undertakes, it has to be an investigation to test the learner performance to see whether that paper is actually of a lower standard, and if it is, that should be rectified in the 2012 paper. So I think I just wanted to bring that point in, that is the dilemma in the country at the moment, that we do not use pre-tested items. The standard is in the SAG in terms of what content needs to be covered, what cognitive levels, what percentage, and truth be told, it's expert opinion at the point of the department, and it's also expert opinion at the point of UMLUSI. However, we're moving into more scientific ways, which is the post-exam analysis, which then picks up by comparing learner performance, also looking at an independent panel, looking at that particular question paper through a different lens, using a different instrument, and then we judge the quality of that. So I hope I have addressed that particular one. The purpose in proving the question paper is to ensure that it's fair, that it's reliable, that it represents the curriculum as well as the conceptual domains as indicated in the document. I've been briefly through the approach that the DDE panels or the assessment body would set it. It's internally moderated and then externally moderated by Umalusi. I've also spoken to subsequent moderation. Chair, these are just some of the criteria that we look at when we moderate it. We look at the technical criteria. I'm not going to go through all of that. It's detailed in our report. The internal moderation, we look at the quality of the internal moderated reports that come through from the assessment body. And though the other aspects there in terms of language and bias and predictability are some of the criteria that the paper would be evaluated against. Very quickly, in terms of the question papers, our findings, the department was recommended for the additional backup papers for the problematic papers, which is CAT and IT, always affected by power outages. And so having these backup papers actually helped in the event of those power outages. The simultaneous moderation of final and supplementary question papers, we would like the standard of the papers to be the same, so to some extent, maybe I'd say 90% of the papers were submitted simultaneously for moderation. There's a significant decrease in the number of question papers going beyond second moderation, and that shows that we have a maturing system in terms of the examining panels, internal moderators and external moderators. The standard of internal moderation is something that we have reported adversely on previously, but we are pleased to say that there has been an improvement in the standard of internal moderation. Our concerns, and I think the concerns have been indicated by the department, adherence to time frame. Obviously, the shorter time you have to moderate a question paper, it puts everybody under pressure, and so one isn't sure of what quality you would get out of that. So we are advocating for strict adherence to the time frame. The simultaneous moderation of all of the papers. And one of our areas of concern that we also raised was the predictability in the Afrikaans second additional language. We have raised this. The prescribed short stories, there's only a limited number, and because they've been used continuously, that paper has become somewhat predictable, and that would need to be addressed. Chair, in terms of the moderation of internal continuous assessment, there's been much debate around, talk around that, so everybody is fully aware of what the internal assessment is. So I'm not going to give the definition. But maybe I should just indicate that in 2010, Umalusi piloted a new model for SDA, where we looked at the tasks rather than on the portfolio at the end of the year. So we put a model in place that saw us going into the schools and the provinces three times in the year. And that was so that there can be this loop, feedback loop to educators, and it has resulted in an improvement in the SBA implementation. We are pleased that the department has implemented the very same model in 2011 at a national level, and that has seen a significant improvement in terms of SBA, while the challenges that we've all spoken about still exist. What that then allowed Umalusi to do was to verify the internal processes. We verified the rigor and appropriateness of the DBE moderation. We wanted to ascertain the degree to which the assessment bodies are attempting to ensure standardization across. We also looked at the standard and quality of the task, determined the extent and quality of internal moderation, and then to determine the reliability and validity of the assessment outcome. Those are the subjects that we had sampled, and these are our findings. Maybe I should skip that one. Let me go down quickly. The areas of good practice is the DBE national moderation. It's for the first time in 2011 that we've had national moderation. We've also had provincially set preliminary examinations or trial examinations, and then also an increased use of common tasks, which we think has contributed significantly to an improvement in SBA. Our concern, however, still remains the standard of the tasks, as already indicated. Not all of the tasks are at appropriate levels, and I think the Honourable Member makes the point that if candidates are not exposed to the tasks at appropriate levels in the SBA, then it comes back to bite in the examination. We also want to link that to poor assessment of those tasks. Poor assessment of those tasks signals incorrect performance, and so candidates think that they understand when actually they don't understand, and so it comes back in the examination also. The issue of marking tools, use of rubrics, is a major issue. It is clear that educators are having a problem with using rubrics in terms of assessing practicals and the other tasks, and so we think there's a dire need for training in that. Life orientation was also discussed. We have a major issue around the physical education task. You know, there's no evidence being provided for how those marks are obtained, and we think that needs to be addressed. We're also concerned with the level of internal moderation. It's merely a compliance or an audit to see that things are done. There's very little work being done around the quality of the tasks. Also concerned that non-compliance by some of the provincial departments to submit samples as required. Honourable Chair, I think this raises, to sum it up, putting all these issues together, it would raise concerns around the validity and the reliability of the SBA mark that goes through. But as already indicated, Umlusi engages a process of statistical moderation where the SBA marks are statistically moderated to bring it in line with the actual exam performance. Very quickly, in terms of monitoring the examination, we monitor the state of readiness, and that essentially is to check that the assessment systems have the wherewithal to conduct the exam. We then monitor the actual conduct, that is the writing of the exam, as well as the marking. Chair, just to indicate that we monitor the following provinces together with the DBE, the Eastern Cape, Free State, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Limpopo, and KZN. Those were identified as the provinces that needed intervention, and so we accompanied the DBE on that. Findings, I think this has also been reported on. All provinces have examination systems in place to varying degrees. Exams are being conducted successfully. There are obviously certain areas that would need attention. However, I think vacant posts and the use of contract staff is a major concern. However, our report would indicate that we've raised this previously, and Limpopo and Mpumalanga have taken that to heart and have filled those vacant posts. There are just the other provinces where this still persists. In terms of the monitoring of the writing phase, the exams were written at almost 6,500 centres. In terms of the resources that we have, Umlusi monitored 186. We have 32 monitors across the country, and staff of Umlusi monitored 17. The general management of the exams, we find that, you know, exams are being conducted well. I think the country has been doing it for some time now. However, there are still isolated instances of non-compliance, suitability of venues, noise, security, those issues isolated in certain provinces. However, of concern to us is the issue of shortage of question papers and answer books. That is directly linked to the printing and packaging processes within provinces. We think this just disrupts the examination, and so shortage of question papers and answer books is something that would need to be addressed. In terms of the marking phase, in general, we find that the marking is in line with the policy. I think the issues around the appointment of markers have been raised, so I'm not going to go through that. We also have concerns around that. Our major one is the third bullet, concern with the quality and standard of marking. And certainly this comes through our verification, where you would find huge discrepancies between marks allocated to a particular candidate at different levels. We know that over even the last 2 years, the department has been addressing these issues. We still feel that there's much more that we could do as the entire assessment system to move the quality or to improve the quality and standard of marking. Certainly what we pick up here is that markers are not able to deal with particular types of questions. And I think while the issue was raised by an honorable member about candidates not being able to answer particular types of questions, certainly educators are having a problem trying or marking, especially interpretative types of questions, is posing a challenge. Monitoring of the marking phase, those are the number of centers. And again, let me just try to quickly address why we also at Umlusi raised the issue of the number of marking centers, and the points that raised by the members are taken note of. For us, it's around security. Papers have to be transported over long distances, and that becomes a risk. If anything had to happen to the whole cohort of, let's say, mathematics scripts of a particular province en route from wherever to the marking center and back, we have a catastrophe on our hands. So security is the one issue. Secondly, is some of the marking centers are not conducive. If you look at the current report we have, in KZN, there was a center that was not even conducive, and then water was cut off for 2 days at that center, and markers had to fend for themselves in those 2 days. Also, again, so from Umlusi as the quality assurer, it begs the question, does the provincial departments have the adequate capacity to monitor those centers if they're far and wide? Let me give a case in point. Last year we had a problem with KZN in terms of them sending the scripts to Umlusi for our verification. Now you know that we've got just 2 weeks to do the work between the end of the exam to the release of the results. And because of the centers being spread all over, and by the time we dispatched one vehicle to all of those marking centers across KZN, the papers did not arrive at Umlusi in time for us to carry out our processes. So we have to then make subsequent plans to do that. So for us, it's a number of those issues. And also the issues that were raised by the department, that the more centralized we can have it, we think that we would be able to maintain better standards in terms of marking. Verification of marking, so Umlusi conducts verification of marking, and that is to determine the standard and quality of the marking. Now remember, when we do this verification of marking, we cannot go back and influence the memorandum, but it is for us to check the consistency of the marking. So there are two phases. One is the pre-marking or the memo discussion, which happens centralized, and Umlusi attends, the moderators attend these. We have the off-site model of moderation. I think our big issue here is the second one, concerned with non-attendance and pre-memo discussion preparation. Now, all provinces are supposed to send chief markers to these memo discussions, having marked a sample of scripts. We find that still does not happen with all of the provinces, as well as other logistical issues where people leave early before the memo is finalized. And then it's incumbent on these individuals to go back to the provinces to share that particular memo, and that becomes a challenge. Unauthorized change of marking guidelines. We still have issues of where once the guideline has been approved, it is changed at the level of the province, which is, there are systems in place if it has to be changed, but we find that the processes are not being followed. Chairman, very quickly, I'll go on to statistical moderation. I won't go through why we do that, but just to indicate that for the Department of Basic Education, 56 subjects were standardized. Of that, we accepted raw marks for 45. Moderated upwards was 3 subjects. Moderated downwards was 8 subjects. And then we monitored the entire resulting process, and that was the verification of the entire resulting until the point that the candidates were issued with their statement of results. Chair, I also have all of the standardization decisions here, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all of that. But if there are particular questions around any subject, then we could address that. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, with your permission,
I need to proceed with the findings of modeling. And I'm going to start first with the areas of good practice, where we commend the department for doing something that is good. Generally, the papers cater for both the weaker and high performing countries, where traditionally they will be accommodated in higher performance grade. In one paper, the paper has been able to differentiate in that manner. In many cases, the November 2011 and March 2012 papers were presented at the same time for moderation by Umlusi. This ensured comparability of standards. And also, external moderators and Umlusi staff signed the final papers off before dispatched to the provinces to obviate the challenge of the papers arriving wrong in the provinces. They had to be signed off. Also, there's been great improvement observed in the monitoring of exams by the different provinces, and the provinces have to be commended for that. And that also, security measures are intensified in the majority of centers across the country, in all provinces. Many areas of concern, Chairperson, are the following, that we still finding it difficult to have the department submit the question papers on time for moderation. And once the time for moderation is limited, mistakes will creep into the papers because the external moderators don't have adequate time to deal with those papers. So we're working hard with the department to observe the 18-month cycle of an examination paper. And we also observe that educators battle with the development and use of rubrics used for scoring them. The implementation and assessment of live orientation requires serious attention, because we all know that live orientation is 100% internally assessed, and standards vary from one province to the other, and even within the province, from one school to the other, the standards of live orientation is not the same. there have been incidents of improper registration of candidates which resulted in duplications, and some candidates not registered or registered for incorrect subjects. That is cause for concern. It is very important that the department appoints suitable chief invigilators. That is very important. This will address problems relating to the flouting of even basic examination regulations. That is an area of concern that is not happening in some instances. The criteria for the appointment of markers has to be strictly adhered to so as not to disadvantage candidates. We also observed that additions were made to the final memorandum without the consent of the department itself at the marking centers, and also without the consent of UMALUSI. Changes to the memorandum have to be done with the consent of the department and with the consent of UMALUSI. Some markers do not have the ability and experience to handle higher order cognitive level questions that require insight and logical reasoning. That is why it is very important that the quality of markers is looked into. There were instances of inaccurate totaling of marks and incorrect transferring of marks to the cover page during marking, and maybe the role of examination assistants who are appointed to check this has to be closely monitored to ensure that they do their work so that learners are not duly disadvantaged or unduly disadvantaged. The issue of the large number of marking centers has been raised. I'm not going to belabor the point. We want to make the following recommendation with regards to the moderation of school-based assessment. That we have the introduction of a common standardized task, because standards differ from one province to the other and from one school to the other, even in the same province. So if we are to have common standardized tasks, it will help to obviate that problem. Moderation of the quality and standard of SDA must be implemented at school and cluster levels. Checks for compliance can still be part of the moderation process to ensure adherence to policy. And all assessment bodies should ensure that all educators are familiar with the policy requirements to ensure the meeting of national standards. With regards to verification of marking, we'd like to make the following recommendations. Criteria for the appointment of markers should be strictly adhered to, so as not to disadvantage the candidate. All stakeholders need to be consulted when changes are made related to the appointment of markers. We want to make the following recommendation with regards to the stabilization of marks. Common framework for the assessment of languages, because we observe that the assessment of languages vary from one language to the other, and yet the candidates do particular languages, and then those who do subject languages that are of a lower standard are unfairly advantaged. So Sesotho, isiZulu, isiNdebele must be at the same level for the equity of standards in the country. Teaching and learning of mathematics and science needs to be strengthened. And with regards to examination irregularities, the majority of irregularities were of a technical nature, and these were reported to Maurice according to the established channel. That is appreciated. Some irregularities were as a result of registration-related problems, e.g. candidates not appearing on mark sheets. Some registered for incorrect subjects. UMALUSI is represented on the National Examination Irregularities Committee, and that is appreciated. With regards to irregularities, no major irregularities were reported. That's why we're able to approve the results in the manner in which the chairman has indicated. We didn't have major irregularities. Going to the conclusion, Chair, the findings of the quality assurance process are a clear indication that the system is maturing and that the system has made positive strides towards improvement in certain areas of the assessment and examination. But on the other hand, we maintain there are still a few challenges that have to be addressed, that need to be addressed. The quality assurance of each of these processes presented above was conducted based on UMALUSI criteria. UMALUSI uses criteria that are subject to constant review and refine to ensure that they are in line with current trends in assessment and examination. As such, our policies at UMALUSI are not stagnant, but they are progressive in terms of the research that we do and in terms of the feedback that we get from the system as we quality assure it. In general, Umaru is pleased with the manner in which the 2011 National Senior Certificate Examinations were administered, and we acknowledge that a few technical irregularities were reported, but these were addressed in a fitting manner. And Umaru takes this opportunity to express appreciation to the national and provincial departments of education for their concerted effort in ensuring a credible examination, and wish to express our appreciation also to all the relevant stakeholders for the necessary support given in line with the Umaru Quality Assurance Initiative. Chairperson, I thank you for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Which one is it? Yes, people, your prejudice is in the portfolio committee.
Can I make that correction, Chair, and say we wish to thank the members of the portfolio committee for their oversight role and also for availing their chairperson during the subdivision meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks a lot for that, Lucy. I understand questions, and you made me feel a bit guilty. I think next time, let us make a ruling on it, that Umalusi is going to be before the department. Because if you were before the department, and you gave them the right to announce the results. So I think for the next meeting, you will be first and the department second. Thank you. Questions? We'll start again with Honourable De Corbo. We'll go to Honourable Mishwana. We'll go to Honourable Smiles. Honourable Lovemore, Honourable Makubela, and then Honourable Mina, in that order. Thank you.
Well, the first thing is the area of concern, and maybe the answer may actually come from the department. I don't understand this one where talking about appointment of appropriate chief invigilator. Is my understanding incorrect? Because I thought chief invigilators are school principals. I may be mistaken. I mean, under normal circumstances at a school, the chief invigilator is a principal. Could it be that we have inappropriate principals? Look, the other thing, let me just make it a comment, and I guess it goes back to what was raised by Honorable Kidd. But for me, it's a very serious problem. If we are going to have a grade 12 math teacher, for example, not qualifying to mark. I don't know what I would feel if I were a learner. And I hear that the bloke that has been teaching me, and I'm using the word bloke with your apology, from January to October, does not qualify to mark my screen. It's a big challenge, and I know that it's not something in the realm of Umalusi. But it's something that we'll really have to deal with as a country, particularly the department, when we deal with teacher development. Because we can't have teachers who cannot interpret questions. It means, what have these teachers been teaching all along? So it's something that we really have to deal with. Because according to me, any teacher who teaches a subject must be qualified to master the subject. Otherwise, the teacher has no business teaching the subject in the first place. Like I say that, maybe they can comment on it, but it's something that actually should be saying to us and the department, what are we doing? These people are teaching, but they don't qualify to mark.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. My question is on the inconsistency. Actually, it goes to the last speaker. I want to understand, or to be made to understand, the inconsistency in your adjustment. Because if it's not based on the level, then I'm getting challenged. I'll give you an example of what I'm trying to say. Like, if we talk of languages, we have got higher, you are higher, whatever. Your higher level. And you see that the first one, like gender, was adjusted, we see this. The others were left in row. What is wrong? Because once you adjust a particular one, then it should go down the line. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. That's my only question. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Sure.
Chairperson, thank you. With regard to the question papers and the moderation of the question papers, 41 out of 135 first time approved. That's about 33%. Now, Chairperson, then the selection of the examinator, there must something be wrong there. It's debatable, but something is wrong there. Then I see that 38 out of 130 in the March exam, and I want to assume that the same person, say for mathematics, in November was the same examiner for March as well. That's why you have the similarity. And maybe we should look at it and find out how can we assume. But I just want to say, let's get it right the first time. It shouldn't be when we have 135 that we get, we have to send back 90 and say do it over. It should not. It cannot be. Chairperson, then, from the SBA, I think I've already indicated there are loopholes, and the Umalusi and the department has noted. We need to close that one. The shortage of question papers. Shortage of question papers in KZN last time, the previous year, that was especially a sort of a trend was in the independent schools. We didn't pinpoint directly what is happening there, but you will find there's a shortage, and then they will go to the other one and get papers there. In the meantime, things are going, irregularities are happening there. There is something about it. Sometimes it's deliberate. Sometimes they have received the number of the correct number, but then in the end it is a shortage, and then things are happening. Chairperson, with regard to the standardization, let me just say at this point, this time last year, I mean, Umalusi was quite big news. This time, this year, it's much better. So things have improved. And may I just on a lighter note say, CEO, whether the independence of Umalusi is intact, because maybe there is a sort of dependence. That's why DBE has taken some of your recommendations and your findings into their report. Yeah. So maybe there is a thing that we need to be looked at. On the raw mark and the adjusted mark, Chairperson, I think, and the mathematics one, I happened to see the mathematics, and it came from the media, from journalists, and I was shocked to see those raw marks for mathematics. I didn't comment. I said I cannot comment. Protocol does not allow me. I just want to receive a report like this report today, and then I can give comment. But whether it was leaked or how did he arrive at those journalists, I don't know. But those raw marks in mathematics, I don't want even to give comment. It's scary. But now, I've seen the recommendation, which gives me sort of peace to say the department has picked up and Umalusi has picked up, and they say teaching and learning in mathematics must be improved drastically. So then, Chairperson, may I just say, with regard to mathematics, there's no other way of teaching and learning. It's exercise, exercise, exercise. That's the name of mathematics. Centralized verification of marking. There are two matters of concern. Unmarked questions. You might as well say unmarked question paper in some cases. So what does that mean? Unmarked questions is it needs to be stopped.
It cannot be like that. The moderators have to deal, or whoever needs to deal with it. But the other one is also a concern. Unauthorized changes of the marking guidelines. So then people will change the memorandum. A memorandum is the main guideline of marking. So we need to do something, Chairperson, and that's a major concern. Thank you very much. Let me stop there.
Honorable Atmore.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm asking questions really for clarity and my own understanding. First of all, about life orientation, as I understand it, that's school-based assessment only. I'm not talking acronyms yet. I'll get used to all the acronyms. You probably saw the article by Professor Jonathan Janssen about the state of education in South Africa, and life orientation he pointed to as one of the subjects that if you fail it, you're a moron. I mean, nobody fails life orientation, and your results or the results that were presented by DDE certainly reflect that. But the fact is that we're giving away a pass in a subject. And how acceptable is that? If you say there must be passes in so many subjects in order to get a pass, we're just giving away a pass in one particular subject. I'd like to understand, in terms of the assessment of the papers, if English first additional language was considered to be somewhat easy. But if you then go to the results presented by DBE, with first additional languages achieved 30% and above, the only one that appears from the graphs here more difficult than English was Afrikaans. All other languages have a higher pass rate, every single other language. Now, I did hear you say that we will have to look at standardization of languages, standards across languages. But won't you just explain why the writing is too small, I can't read all this, but certainly, Setswana, for instance, got 100% pass rate. Why is that not considered too easy? And English is. I don't fully understand that. And then, lastly, when you do the post-exam analysis of the papers, and you decide whether it was actually too difficult or too easy, perhaps, what happens if the results are much lower than you would have liked? Like, for instance, mathematics. How do you say, okay, this is because of a poor standard of teaching or learning, or on the other hand, it might be because the paper was too difficult? Who makes that decision? Because next year we might have just have an easier paper in order to adjust the marks. Or alternatively, the raw marks could be adjusted. So how do you make that decision? Thank you, Chair.
Effectively, I've got one question. And I think it will be but there may happen to be two. But the very first one, on the common framework for the assessment of language, to me it becomes urgent. The issue may be, when will this be achieved? When are you hoping to get there? Because if it may be that the other languages are at an advantage, and so it's not something to be postponed. I know we don't just want to hurry to achieve certain things, but I'm saying, it puts more pressure for us to move towards that and then ensure that there's some commonality in terms of what do you base your marks on, and you know, because they can't be the same, obviously, in different languages. But if there are those languages that, either in terms of their material or literature or whatever, they happen to get an advantage, why can't we try and move faster to ensuring that at least there's some standard at that particular level? To me, it's an urgent one. I'm just also wanting to understand in terms of provinces. I know there were provinces that were not necessarily compliant or sticking to the same standards across the board. Either they would appoint their own markers, being agents from elsewhere and so on, and
not necessarily what the department will be doing nationally and so on. And whatever variations, we may need to be at that level. The very last thing, why is it a problem? I'm just asking myself this question. You know, when you go for a driver's license, the questions are clear and basic. All of us go through that and we all pass and go drive cars. There are no real complications or difficulties in that regard. When you correspond as an adult with your NISA or whatever distance learning institution, you can almost tell that these questions are going to be there. But you have to know it because you can't go there with any book or you have to be able to produce that yourself and actually write them and pass. So it's known that once you pass a particular exam, all of us have gone through that. But for matriculants, we happen to be so difficult, you know, and they actually don't achieve. I'm saying, if we say we don't want this process to be predictable, I agree to some degree. But I'm saying, for me, it's not to be tricky to get them to either fail or pass. Is to assess whether they know this. So if people know the same thing and they pass because they know it, what is the problem with that? Do you want to come around, bring the same question this way, that way, just to trick them to fail? But when they pass and they know that subject or content, all you need is to know that they are now better citizens, they can do certain things in their adulthood. They can perform particular tasks. There's no need for real tricks to say no, you need to be sophisticated to pass the matric. But when you're an adult, we don't want you to be as sophisticated as well, but we just want to understand whether you can interact with this particular information and so on. I'm just saying that it may not be to be answered now, but I think there's a great deal of interaction with that matter. So that it's not a problem if they've come and they know the question already that we are going to be asking, and they come and produce knowledge in that regard and they pass. To me, there's no problem.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, thank you. I don't have questions, but I've got a request from Madis. If ever they can finish up with the provinces that had shortages of question papers and answer sheets in 2011, I think that will assist us because, in the way that you do. And also, the non-attendance of the, I don't know whether it's chief marker to the meeting where the memorandum is being discussed. I think that also can assist us eventually. Yeah. Lastly, Chair, usually we talk of ELO as one of my subjects that solely depends on the SBA. I need Chair to know more about tourism because I think it's one of the subjects that follow up that pattern. The reason why I'm asking Chair, I visited one of the schools where I'm excited because the department is still there. Where sometimes if the principal would say I got an advice from the departmental official to say you are failing in this subject, so why can't you try this? And when you look at the combination of the subject, I think it worries me because it's tourism, I think it's one of the subjects where it sort of depends on the SBA, it's about 50% that you get into, and it doesn't score much of the points when the learner wants to proceed to universities. You are not guaranteed to get a B when it comes to that. I'll just give you, the school was advised to take agriculture, life orientation, tourism, the three languages, and then life science. Oh, what did I say? Agriculture, life orientation, tourism. Mm-hmm. Mathematics is compulsory, but you will understand that when we say mathematics is compulsory, the bulk of those learners will take math later. Mm-hmm. Then life science. Then you begin to wonder, what kind of product are we awaiting from such a school? Really, if we can have that combination of life orientation, tourism, to be these subjects that are happening.
So can you talk more on life orientation so that we can advise at a very informed position as the members of the committee? Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I'll like an Umeluti to answer.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll go first, and the manager, senior manager of quality assurance for assessment, will do the mopping up. First of all, what should happen actually is that the chief invigilators should be principals of schools. But maybe the department is well pleased to answer the question, because I've also observed that empty principals in some instances are chief invigilators when you go to schools to do monitoring. It could be because of the arrangement at a particular school, because of the pressures that the principal has, and so forth and so on. Now, the other thing that Honorable Kubo asked is about a teacher who teaches math but can't mark math. One of the criteria used is to check what kind of a pass rate is this person able to produce. If you can't produce a good pass rate, how will you be able to mark higher order questions? There was a debate also in the Western Cape last year that all people who have to mark have to be subjected to a test before they qualify. And my sense is that that is going to be rolled out to the whole country. And we are testing the very people who are teaching the subject, but they have to be tested because some of them cannot mark at the appropriate level. And I want to agree with the Honorable Member that this matter needs attention. Because who'd want his child to be taught by such a person who doesn't even qualify to mark? Now, when it comes to the inconsistency in the standard of the languages, it is about the number of questions that are included as high-order questions and low-level questions. We've done a study to check whether there is consistency across the subject because of the fairness that we want to bring about. Because if I do due to home language, and the questions are loaded with a lot of high-order questions, and the other person is doing it in the bed, and it's only low-order questions in the main, that is a problem in terms of standards in the country. My sense is that with Umadu speaking with the department on this matter, it is a priority matter where we want to standardize languages across the board. It's a priority issue that we are giving attention with the colleagues. Honorable Smith is asking the question about getting the paper correct the first time. That is the ideal that we're working towards. That is why we appreciate those papers that were correct in the first instance. But we're going to continue to have papers that don't pass the test the first time they are submitted to UMADU and moderation processes. For as long as we don't have pre-standardized tests, it will be difficult to get that because some examiner will miss the guidelines in terms of subject assessment guidelines, and that will go to the internal moderator and they'll still miss it, maybe at the level of the external moderators, only then that the problem is picked up. So as long as we don't have pre-standardized tests, we're going to have this problem. But the extent to which the problem presents itself is what we're interested in for now. The whole notion of question papers that are not meeting the number of learners at a particular set, they irregular. It's not something that is acceptable in the system. That is why we raise it. We are going to be checking where an honorable member has asked for the statistics, whether that is captured in our report, and we'll send that report to you. Honorable Smith, I want to reassure this honorable committee that UMADU is independent. We are colleagues with Rufus and the other colleagues, but we remain independent. And that is why we are able to raise certain issues sharply with them without ducking and diving. We respect our independence.
In terms of the story of the
council of UMADU, it is that the only qualification vote that is releasing the standardization decision. At a conference in Kenya, a professor from Nigeria advised that maybe Umalusi is too transparent. And we should be careful that we should try and be opaquely transparent, even as we disclose everything. So that is the advice that we get from Nigeria. I don't know how far we take that, but the fact that we have disclosed has made the South Africans to have confidence in the system. The City Press article that Honorable Mr. Smiles is referring to is unfortunate, the way it has been captured. We presented them with the same kind of data that we presented them with last year when we requested to disclose. But the way they have captured the articles that are on the front page of their newspaper 2 weeks ago was such that it was like they were presenting the final result. But fact of the matter is that they were only having statistics on the written component of the work, and that includes SDA, because Umar presented that information to them. Umar only has the written component of the work. And we did respond to that article, indicating the inaccuracies, and also asking them that we don't know the methods they used to present the report. And they were presenting the report in the paper as though they are presenting a report that has been penned by Umar. And that is not true. What we presented them with is the statistics. In the manner in which we presented it last year when they were requested to, we were requested to disclose the standardization decision. They did capture our response. Unfortunately, it was not on the first page of the newspaper, but it was on page 29, so most people missed it. The formula that they used to arrive at those conclusions is still unknown to us, and we requested their editor to provide us with such, because it is inaccurate, because it does not include the SDA component and the written component. It's only the written component. The change of the memoranda at the marking center is unfortunate, is wrong, is irregular. That is why centralized miking is ideal in the manner in which Dr. Podi has indicated. That if men were to be marked at one center for the whole country, would not have these irregularities, where men's memoranda is adjusted in the Eastern Cape, it is not adjusted in the Western Cape. But because men is marked at one center for the whole country, when a call is made for adjustments to be made on the memoranda, it is made to the department by one center, and then Umar is contacted. Logistically, that will be easy to manage. But as things stand now, it is a bit problematic. Life orientation is a problem that needs to be attended to very soon. It's a bonanza, as one member put it. It has to be corrected in terms of having common tasks. The department has got a timetable indicating when they are going to have that, so that even universities can begin to recognize what learners have obtained in life orientation. Not standardized. When we do standardization, the chairperson of the portfolio committee was at our standardization meeting at the end of last year. We did not standardize life orientation. We standardized all subjects except for life orientation, because we don't have a common national standard. There's no way in which you can be able to pronounce the same, how the marks said in this particular subject. Determining whether learners are performing badly as a result of poor teaching or as a result of the poor question paper is easy to do. What we do during standardization meetings is that we receive qualitative reports from the external moderators, from the internal moderators on the side of the department, and also for the gateway subjects from the university experts that we appoint. So they'll be able to advise to say the paper was difficult in this manner, and learners were therefore disadvantaged. And that is where standardization will kick in. But we do not correct through standardization challenges that come as a result of poor teaching in the classroom. If learners are performing badly because of poor teaching in the classroom, we don't consider that in standardization. We don't correct the mistakes that happen in the classroom on a graph paper, as one member of the committee chaired by Professor Fadi will put it. Correcting the mistakes that have happened in the classroom and the graph paper is not what we do. What we do is we'll correct the mistakes if the papers were not found to be at the right standard, and the learners were unfairly advantaged or disadvantaged. And that is based on the specialist report, moderator's report, the trends that we observe over the years in that particular subject. I've already commented on the standards in the Honorable Makubela, standards in the languages, that the standards have to be the same. Let me get to the driver's license story and see how I respond there. First of all, I want to claim with my response by saying, what is the purpose of a matric? The problem that we have is that the matric, the NSC, does not have one purpose, but it has got a multiplicity of purposes. First of all, they are preparing learners for citizenship, that they can go out there and be citizens, because some of them will be exiting the system immediately after the matric. Some of them, we prepare them for the world of work. Some are prepared for higher education, and even in higher education, they are being prepared for different levels in higher education. Some will score high scores in terms of university admission, some will score low scores. So even there, for higher education, we don't prepare them for the same thing. That is why it is difficult for us to say we have one standard for everybody. It has to differentiate in the manner that I think I've directed. Now, if we were to have repetitive questions in the manner in which honorable members illustrated, the questions are going to be predictable. We are running a very big system here. It's either like licensing where they'll have book A, book B, book C, book E, up to E. And then on a given day, they'll choose book E. And when you come for testing, you'll not know which book you have taken. And also my sense is, I got my license a long time ago, my sense is that these are pre-standardized tests with licensing. Now, immediately we do such repetitive questions, the question papers are repetitive, we have everybody passing, there's going to be a complaint in this country that the standards have dropped and we're not taking care of the standards. That is why we have to change here, chop here. The major complaint that we have with the set works is that we don't have enough set works and we don't change them regularly enough. Therefore, the questions in some set works are predictable, and already there's a question of standards there. That is why we say to the department, we have to agree on time frames for the change of set work. It will boil down to the same point of predictability and learners being able to say, no, we know this question is going to appear in this fashion, and they prepare themselves in advance. Magina will meet your request in terms of the 2 points that you have requested for. First of all, instances where there were shortages of question papers and non-attendance of memo discussion. It is very important also on the point that Magina is making that we have proper career guidance in our schools and also that we advise parents accordingly. It's no point for me to want to be a medical doctor and do a certain combination that is not going to assist me to attain that goal. So it is also very important for the teachers as they consider the curriculum of their schools in conjunction with the school governing bodies to take into account the different streams that learners may aspire to follow in terms of their career. Some subject combinations are not helpful. That is why we have so many unemployed people in our country. And this boils down to life orientation and career guidance. Vijay, through you, Chair, will do the mopping up. This is his area of specialization.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, CEO. I think justice has been done to the issues. Maybe if I just can comment quickly on when we say the word appropriate chief invigilators, maybe we should also be implying appropriately trained chief invigilators. Because I think just holding that office by virtue of being a principal is problematic. In our report, you would see that candidates have been excluded from writing the exams because of the way they came dressed on that particular day, or because of fees, or whatever it might be. And so those cause ripple effects in terms of the administration and conduct of an examination. And we feel that the chief invigilator has to be adequately trained to understand and to manage the conduct of an examination. So maybe the more appropriate way of putting it would have been appropriately trained. Then very quickly, the CEO addressed the issue of the adjustments for the languages. I just want to indicate that in terms of the NSC structure, home language is a subject on its own. First additional is a subject on its own, and they are not linked in terms of how we would perceive the previous higher grade, standard grade. So when we standardize, we look at them as subjects in their own right and standardize them. So one would not imply that if we adjusted in home language, we would necessarily have to adjust in the other languages. For us, it's seen as if I interpret the question, the issue correctly.
Thank you. I was like saying, since they are all home languages, my take is that they should be treated the same. But the way you're explaining it is like they may be home languages, but still different. Because I would argue that children and the Sesotho or whatever the examples that I gave, they remain home languages. Now, there's an adjustment somewhere and there's none somewhere. Now, the question is why should we do it? Thank you.
Thank you. I now understand the question. Yes, and I think the CEO has alluded to it, that yes, while all of these are as home languages, you would find that the standard of the paper actually varies quite differently between the different languages. That's a challenge we've picked up now over the past 2 or 3 years. And to address the other questions raised in terms of the urgency to get it addressed, a common framework was implemented last year, but we couldn't take the common framework to its full implication. So there was a common framework used, and the bottom will help here, a common framework that was used, which was developed by the examining panels together with the UMLUSI moderators, to say when we look at the African languages, let's use a common framework. So we are one step into that, and we've seen the improvement of that already in terms of last year's results. And I think, if I'm standing corrected, this coming Friday and Saturday is another follow-up workshop to fine-tune that instrument and to take it forward. UMLUSI has 2 major research projects on languages because we've identified this as one of the critical areas, so we're working on that. I think where the problem comes in is if you have a particular SAG, and let's say it was the English SAG, and then you version it to meet the other languages, that's where the problem comes in, that it's not easy just to version a particular SAG to meet all the other languages. Last year we identified that a particular problem was with Tshivenda, where you would find that the learners would perform much better in that home language than in any other because they were exposed to the same set works in grades 10, 11, and 12. And so it's a number of factors, and so we're trying to address that in terms of the languages. Very quickly, and I don't want to go into the entire of how we standardize, but if you look at the mathematics, and when we looked at the mathematics results this year, our maintaining standards, or post-exam analysis that you talk about, is helping us to look at the consistency of the standard of the paper across years. So we're mapping it from the senior certificate to 208, 209, 2010. And if that record is showing us that there's a consistency in that paper, and if the moderator's report is saying that the paper has been approved in terms of the subject assessment guidelines, then our first inclination will be to take the raw marks, and that's what we've done. So that's how we would look at it. We would also look at, if those reports are saying that, what is the data showing? And if the performance of this year's candidates is consistent with the performance of the candidates in previous years, and the papers are of the same standard, then we would take the raw marks. We would only want to adjust if either of those reports are showing us anything different from that. In a nutshell, just to answer that question. I've addressed the issue of the languages. I think just to tag on to the issue of the predictability of the papers and the model, I think we're currently having a major issue currently in UMLUSI sits with, and it's what the CEO alluded to. Universities are crying that a candidate passing through your system and has a certificate but comes to university and cannot do X, Y, and Z. And I think it is that issue, and we're grappling with that. Problem also goes to the method of teaching and learning. I think a lot of our teachers are actually teaching to the test. Learners are able to pass and they're not able to apply. So I think the matric certificate is not about competence as much as it's about knowledge and skills and using it in different contexts. I think that's where our challenge is. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Umarusi, for the answers to our questions. And as you rightly said, Dr. Kamensi, when it comes to the shortage of question papers with statistics and then the non-attendance to memo discussions, you can send it through to Llewellyn and we'll give it to the whole committee. And I think what's going to be important for the department, there were quite a number of concerns raised by UMLUSI. The department has raised the program of action. How are they going to address those concerns? Because I think it will be important for the committee Then when it comes to your standardization process, the one I went to, I think it was very interesting. And a person can see there that Umalusi is an independent body. Because the department made certain requests. And you didn't just say yes to it. You said, we will go into committee to discuss it. Because you already gave your reasons why you using raw marks or why you adjusting it up and down. And then you come back, then you give the partner again reasons. You know, we're not going to accept it that way, the way the department wants it, because of these reasons. So I feel you are really independent, and we wouldn't like the department to compromise you, your independence itself. So when it comes to the department's report, I'm going to let you do their own, and then you do your own reporting. Do not overlap onto their ground. Because I had a note on the department's you know, when they on this National Senior Certificate Examination, the slide, I had, let Umalusi speak to their own standardization of results. But then, when we started, I forgot to tell the department. Because I wrote it down there. And I would like to thank Umalusi for giving this report. I think we have to congratulate you as the committee, and then also the department, and then I think with our next report from you, you'll be first and department second. And I'd like to indicate to the committee that when it comes to teacher development, next week, I think it's on Tuesday, we will have having a report from South African Council of Educators on the training, their training program. When it comes to teachers, it's a bit late, but I think let us go through that process, that we know exactly what is being done when it comes to the development of teachers. And then I'd like to thank the committee, you know, because we have a very big committee, for being present this afternoon, and then we'll be having a meeting again tomorrow to speak to the quarterly report of the department and infrastructure. And I think it's going to be quite heated, the infrastructure one. Thanks a lot.